Hey everybody, welcome to the Ground Effect Podcast, where we dive into the heart of Formula One, bringing you the latest news, insider analysis, and sharing our thoughts on the motorsport we love. So come and join us, G and Mick, as we look forward to what promises to be an exciting 2025 Formula One season. G'day race fans. Well, we're back. Zandvoort for the Dutch Grand Prix. Big wait, but the battle recommences. Lando and Oscar back into battle, of course, and the hometown hero, Max Verstappen. Can he give those orange-wearing Dutch fans something to celebrate? It's been a long time. Mick, we're back on, mate. Ready to go?
Finally, we're back, and we're back with a bang. I think a double header. So we've got, like you said, Zandvoort this weekend and then Monza next weekend. So it's going to be a cracker. Like you said, battle resumes. Come battle on, resumes. Pastry. Let's go, man. Let's get the job done. And, man, there's some drivers looking to redeem themselves throughout the rest of the season. And that midfield battle, man, so tight. So it's game on.
Well, first thing I want to highlight, we were definitely wrong about Franco Colapinto. We thought there was going to be some movement come the midsummer break. Looks like he's got that seat guaranteed to the end of the year, which is good. Enough time to prove himself, of course. But if you read the headlines, he is definitely under pressure. Lewis Hamilton, well, he needs a big turnaround. Ended the last couple of races on a bit of a low, so let's see if he can bounce back. Of course, Yuki Tsunoda still under a lot of pressure at Red Bull. I don't think we're going to see much change as far as car performances from this point forward. I think most of the big upgrades are done and dusted. Maybe a few little things will come through. You're right, still plenty to play for. Looking at the point standings, it's a nice little lead there for Oscar Piastri, of course. The battle on the constructors is basically wrapped up. McLaren will be looking to go back-to-back here. Lando Norris picking up the victory last year, followed by Max Verstappen in P2 and, of course, Charles Leclerc in P3. Forecast looks like it's going to be wet, but I think I'm more interested in the wind.
Rain's definitely going to play a part on the Saturday. Possible rain on Sunday as well. But like you said, the wind is going to be a big factor. Saturday, we're looking around somewhere around gusts of like 35 to 40 kilometers an hour. Sunday is the big day with the winds are going to be up around the 50 kilometer mark. And we know with these cars how sensitive they are just to gusts of wind and wind direction changes.
So last year was predominantly a one-stop race, but Pirelli are coming with a step softer with the compound. So they're going with the C2, C3, C4. So it is a dry race, which kind of at the moment looks unlikely. It may force it into a two-stopper, of course. But hometown hero, Max Verstappen. So he's a triple winner here since it returned in 2021. Lando, as previously said, took the limelight last year. This week, it's a big one for Max. I mean, he would love to get the win in front of his hometown. Has he got a chance?
Max is definitely going to be able to get the most from that car. Like we said, he's definitely 3 or 4 tenths quicker than that car at the moment. We saw in Hungary, he struggled big time. Obviously, in the Sunday, the cooler temps, that car came alive and he was really the only one that could do most of the overtaking throughout that race. So I'm probably expecting them not to have as a bad weekend, but I don't know if they've got enough to race pace-wise to match McLaren.
Yeah, tricky one, because you don't factor Max to have many sort of races in a row where he doesn't factor somewhere in the top three.
Yeah, look, so, I mean, home crowd advantage, even if he's not in the fastest car, he's definitely got to be odds-on favorite for a podium, at least.
Well, you'd think the Red Bull car would be quite suited to Zandvoort, right?
Well, we're going similar sort of circuit to Hungary, right? It's a little bull ring, high downforce. The only difference is it will be cooler than it was in Hungary, and that will definitely play more into Red Bull's hands, you would think. I've definitely got him factoring big time this weekend. Even if the car's not quite right, that home crowd advantage, I think the line will make the difference.
Yeah, and what about Yuki? It needed to be a reset the summer break. So let's hope he comes in this week fresh and he can get stuck in. Do you factor Yuki making a big improvement into the second half of the season?
We've seen he's a little bit more comfortable with that car with when they finally managed to get the upgrades. He definitely seemed a lot more comfortable. It's the same old thing with Yuki. It's you've got to get to Q3 and you've got to score a bag of points, right? And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing your job. Simple as that.
Yeah, and there's been a few rumors floating around with Alex Palou from IndyCar. And Red Bull, I wouldn't say the sources are extremely credible at the moment, but you just never know, right?
It would not surprise me. Like I said, if Yuki can't do what he needs to do, which is consistently be in Q3 and scoring good points, because look, we know that Red Bull's good for Q3, whether it's hard or not. We know that car's good enough. For me, Q3, good points or bust.
All right, the other Team Orange that the Dutch people can get behind if it doesn't work out for Max. McLaren, of course, they have to factor. It's just whether they make mistakes or not. Obviously, with the conditions, it might tighten the field up. The rivalry, the championship battle back on. Obviously, our boy Oscar Piastri up against Lando Norris. Going to be a fascinating battle, of course. I'm sure both of them would like to get the upper hand going into this next phase of the season.
Well, Oscar, man, I think it's a pretty important weekend. He needs to stem the flow of race wins from Lando. Lando, on the other hand, like I said, he just needs to capitalize on that momentum that he's got. No doubt, I think they'll be the team to beat. If weather is a factor, I actually think that gives the upper hand to Oscar. Because if you look at like Silverstone and Spa, when the conditions were wet, Oscar drove away from Lando, like clean, like he was gone. Lando couldn't keep up. They're going to be the team to beat. Like you said, now that I think the constructors is pretty much done and dusted, gloves off now, only 10 races to go. Every lap counts now between those two. So I think it's going to be gloves off.
It's getting serious now as we get closer to Abu Dhabi.
The way it is at the moment, it's tense, man, because if one of them gets a DNF and the other one wins the race, that's basically game over. It's tense. They look calm and looks all happy and friendly, but I think behind the scenes, it's once we get through this weekend and then Monza, we only got 8 races to go, it's going to be tense. But none of them, we're at the point of the season now with only 10 to go. You can't afford to make a mistake.
We've said it all season. Our bets have always been on Oscar Piastri, but Lando Norris, just when you think the chips are down and you feel like Oscar Piastri gets that upper hand, he comes back. He's riding a wave of momentum at the moment, winning the last race out, but also winning the race here last year. So he'll be pretty confident. Now, speaking of confidence, low confidence, I would probably say Lewis Hamilton, Ferrari, even Charles Leclerc. The second in the Constructors' Championship. It's almost like we feel like this Ferrari is horrible, but they're sitting second, so it's not too bad. Do you think Lewis is primed for a big second half, or do things falter moving on?
Interesting for Lewis, because I think you've got to look more towards 2026 now, but at the same time, you still need decent performances because that battle for second, I think, is still relatively tight in the constructors. Yeah. The braking and the rear end stability of that car, engine braking, he's just not quite comfortable yet. See if you can improve, get the car into a spot that you want it, and the results will come off the back of that. So Charles has been pretty strong here. I think he's had 2 or 3 podiums here. I'm expecting Ferrari to be really strong. I think, again, they're going to be second behind McLaren. We know what Charles is like in qualifying. So I think Saturday is going to be epic between the two McLaren boys. Throw Max in there, then you throw Charles in there. And hopefully Lewis can be up there as well. I'm expecting a big haul of points this weekend.
I'm probably a little bit different for this one for Ferrari. I think this track is very much about quick directional changes. And we know that Ferrari has an issue with that rear end. And they generally have to run that thing so damn low to, you know, get the most out of it. And then we see the plank wearing problems, etc. It's a big one for Ferrari in that sense, because we know that they bought that rear end upgrade recently. I wouldn't be surprised if Ferrari struggle here this weekend. Well, Mercedes, we haven't actually mentioned Kimi Antonelli's name, which we should have at the start, because he is one driver. I wouldn't say he's under an immense amount of pressure, but I think at this stage of the season, it has been a tough little mid-season, you could call, for Kimi Antonelli. George Russell, of course, look, he's just doing what he needs to do. I was hoping there was going to be some more solid news coming out regarding what the contracts were going to be as far as 2026 for George and, of course, Kimi. I sound like a broken record. Cooler conditions, Mercedes tend to go better. Has Mercedes got a chance this weekend?
The cooler conditions are certainly going to suit them. Now they've switched back to that old suspension, and we saw that certainly made Kimi a lot more comfortable. Switching back to that old suspension setup has definitely helped that car. And that's when you can talk about those cooler conditions, right? Because we've seen with that suspension, cooler conditions, for whatever reason, that car excels. I think Kimi just needs to build some consistency over a few weekends. He had a solid outing in Hungary. Now he needs to do it again this weekend, because we know the following week we go to Monza and the pressure is going to ramp up big time for him, right? So you need to maximize this weekend. It'll take a little bit of pressure off you for your home Grand Prix in Monza. George, man, one man band at the moment, just carrying that team. So we should, though. He is the number one driver. In terms of results, it's not really their best circuit since 2021. I think they've had one decent result here. I think George might have got a second here, I think. So in terms of results, it's probably not their best circuit. Again, throw in the mixed weather conditions, the wind, especially on Saturday, anything could happen.
Racing Bulls, Liam Lawson, and of course, Isaac Hadjar, little inter-team battle. I think that's going to heat up for the rest of the season. Naturally, all the rumours regarding who is in the front running for that seat should Yuki Tsunoda be demoted. Rumours of Palau as well, Lindblad waiting in the wing. So there's plenty going on around there. So two drivers that still have a lot to prove. Hadjar's been lights out for most of the season, but we've seen Lawson come back at him. And when you look at the points, Lawson is right back in the mix. I would love to see both Racing Bulls in the points. They need double points because it always just seems to be one driver gets the upper hand, gets the points, while the other one languishes just outside the top 10. So that will obviously be Permain's big goal moving into this second half of the season, but it could start this week in Zandvoort.
I second that. You basically hit the nail on the head. Both drivers need to get in the points. Lawson, he's starting to get his groove back. He's outperformed Hadjar in the last two weekends. For Hadjar, like you said, it's consistency. Just get yourself back up to where we know you can be. Had a pretty ordinary outing in Hungary, so he needs to bounce back. Those two, man, that inter-team battle is probably one of the closest on the grid at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously there's a lot to gain if you get that upper hand as well with that potential Red Bull seat. Whether you want to take that second Red Bull seat, I'm not too sure, but I think with the new regulations, I don't think it's going to be as a poison chalice, so to speak. Now, Alpine, let's go straight into Alpine because Franco Colapinto, we both thought he was done and dusted after the summer break. He's still there. He's still holding on by a thread. Still rumors regarding the speculation on how secure his seat is. So still a lot of pressure on him. Gasly, I think Gasly will just do Pierre Gasly things. He's been, again, as you say, a one-man team basically over there. Do they factor?
In terms of results, Alpine have actually done all right. I don't think they'll be a factor. Like you said, Gasly will do Gasly things. And he actually got on the podium here in 2023. He likes the place. It shows that the car works. Whether it'll work this year, I'm not too sure. If we get the mixed conditions, I think Gasly will definitely be a factor. And he has had a habit of dragging that car into Q3. Reports are Colapinto's gone after Abu Dhabi. So now you're not fighting to retain your seat. You're fighting to stay in Formula One. You're now in the shop window. Now you've got to show what you can do. You know, he's been given till the end of the season. So I think that's a big pressure release for him. So now he can just knuckle down and focus on trying to get the best out of that car and the best out of himself. It's a tough one. If you go off past results, you go, yeah, Gasly will definitely be in contention for some strong points, but we've seen that car struggle.
Franco, a lot of pressure on him. He's gaining that reputation of, making a lot of mistakes and doing quite a bit of damage. We know he can be quick.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Flario will keep cashing the sponsorship check.
Of course he will.
Come on, man.
Of course he will. Not 100%.
But yeah, like you said, man, he's unfortunately for him, everyone knows how fast the dude is, right? But everyone knows that you like to crash.
Yeah.
And that's what you need over the next 10 races, I think, is 10 clean weekends where you don't make a mistake.
Big ask. Now, Williams, they had a pretty good strong start of the season. They've made it pretty clear that most of their focus is now on 2026. So we're probably not going to see much or any upgrades come for that car. What do you think of Williams' chances? Is James Vowles, does he leave this weekend happy, or is it just much the same?
I'm going to say it's going to be much the same. That Zandvoort layout is not going to be suited to the car. You know, even James Vowles says the long lateral load corners is where the car struggles. Now, there's a few of those corners at Zandvoort. No more upgrades. They did bring the upgrade package to Spa and Hungary, and that's it. Albon, man, best season so far in his career. He's just...
Well, there's rumours floating around with Albon and possibly returning to Red Bull as well, but, you know, the circus, of course, that is Formula 1.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Albon, I wouldn't. I'd stay where you are.
Yeah.
When you look at what Williams is doing and what they're building and they're heading in the right direction and you've got someone like James Vowles, I think he'd be silly to go. Yes,
and he looks happy. That's the thing. He looks relaxed and happy. We have commented about how he's much more fiery on the radio. I think it's been a good thing that he's got a good teammate that's come in, even though we haven't seen the best of Carlos yet for this year, but I think it's just given great impetus for Albon to really step his game up.
Yeah, and he has. He's delivered. Carlos is just a little bit frustrated. Things haven't gone his way. Car letting him down a little bit. I think he really just needs some consistency over a few weekends, and then we'll really start to see him maximize what he can do in that car, because he knows the speed's there. Mm. The speed's not the issue. I think he's just got to get a handle on getting the car into a window that he likes. You know, we know what Carlos can do, man. He's solid.
Well, it's still a big second half of the season for Williams, because they're holding down that P5 and the constructors, and it's extremely tight there. So we know how much money, you know, just going from P5 to P6 and the constructors is worth. It's worth a lot of cash. When you look at Carlos, it must be tough being a F1 driver. You've been in one of the top teams where you've been able to compete for wins, podiums, and then the way he was sort of cast aside by Ferrari naturally would have been disappointing because he was performing very well. But then to come into a season where it's just been about trying to get into Q3s and try and just get into the top 10, and then, you know, your teammate is doing exceptionally well. We definitely thought we'd see a lot more or better things from Carlos, so I think it's going to be a big second half of the season. Now, Aston Martin, it'll be interesting to see what their trajectory is because, you know, they've been one of the teams that had bought a few upgrades and things were going into the right direction. Yes, there was the anomaly. I think it was Spa. I'm thinking Aston Martin might be a bit of a dark horse this week, particularly in the wet. Stroll seems to do all right in the wet as well. Good old Lance. Aston Martin, both double top 10 finish here, because I'm thinking that's what we're going to get.
Yeah, I'm expecting the same. Like I said, it was a great performance in Hungary. Weather permitting, if it's dry, it should be exactly the same. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. If it's wet, like you said, I think Stroll could be a little bit of a dark horse. Now, we're all giving Stroll shit, right? When you look at the points, man, he's doing what he needs to do, right? Like, if Alonso doesn't perform and you do, well, then you're doing your job. So I think in terms of the inter-team battle, I think he's doing an all right job. But we know, unfortunately, if you want to win a world championship after next year...
Stroll has his day, you know, he has his day.
Yeah, but it's just, one day here and there isn't enough.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Not good enough.
Yeah, so I'm expecting both into Q3. And if it rains, yeah, Stroll is my dark horse for sure. Not for a race win, but to be well inside the top 10.
Nice one.
And probably outperform his teammate. Ooh.
Oof. Here we go. Heard it here first.
In the dry, Alonso, I think we'll have it all over him. I don't know what it is. When it's wet, he can do things that he can't do when it's dry.
I guess it just depends when he wakes up, if he feels like being there or not.
Yeah, depends. That's the sense what he has on his Weet-Bix, right? If he has his Weet-Bix in the morning, he's good to go. But, I mean, we saw it in Hungary too, man.
Caviar in the morning.
Yeah. If the tender off his dad's yacht drops him right to the entrance, or he has to walk. But like I said, you know, in Hungary, he seemed pretty happy, right? So
yeah.
He seemed quite content. Obviously, the car, he was comfortable with the car. Now, if he's comfortable with the car, then there's no reason.
Yeah, that he's quick enough. Like on his day, if he's comfortable, he's quick enough. I think, like you said at the start, people seem to bag him a lot. We've bagged him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Most people bag
him.
He's
easy to bag.
But at the end of the day, I think most of these people sitting at home would be like, I'd like to be Lance Stroll.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Why not? Well, let's move on to, look, I don't want to put Kick Sauber at the end because they've been punching above their weight. Bortoleto, I think you got to get pretty hyped for Gabby because I think he's transitioning now into the solid driver that most of us expected. He's got the confidence. He's got the swagger. He's past, I guess, that initial rookie phase, and he's starting to string some top 10s together. Naturally, the car been a lot better. They've definitely developed it over the season. I think he's in for another big one. The Hulk, look, we know the Hulk can deliver, but tends to be a little bit inconsistent, particularly when it comes to qualifying. We know Saturday is going to be massively important here just because of it's not an easy track to pass on. Maybe the wet conditions may throw up some crazy strategy calls, and perhaps the Hulk can do again what he did in Silverstone. What do you think? Kick Sauber, are we in the points this week? That's a big pause.
Because I don't know. Like, it's very tight. Like you said, they've punched well above their weight. Like, the engineers of that team deserve a pay rise because whatever they did to that car, they turned it around. And it'll be interesting to see over the next 10 races if they can hold station and keep that car competitive and maximize the most they can out of what they have. Because, like we said, that car's probably not going to have any more upgrades. Gabby, man, full of confidence. He's outshone his teammate now the last 2 weekends in a row. I think Hulk is looking for some consistency. When you look at it and then you look at Hungary, you go, well, there's no reason that both those cars couldn't be in the top 10. The way they've turned that car around, man, is unbelievable. We're starting to see what Gabby can do now. And who knows, it might be a similar sort of thing where whatever they've done to the car now suits Gabby a little bit more than it suits Hulk, and that's why Hulk's having those little bit more inconsistent weekends.
Mm.
But yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't both be in the top 10 come the end of Sunday.
Well, it'd be massive if they do, because again, you know, they're factoring for that P5 and the constructors. I think they're in P7 at the moment, so it's not a lot of points in it. And, you know, you've mentioned it before, pretty much any of those midfield teams, double points finish is going to be massive going into the end. All right, last but not least, Haas, what do you think they factored this week? They had it wasn't the greatest Grand Prix out last time, which, you know, we've made a bit of a joke. They have a bit of a shitter and then they bounce back and have a great one. Ollie just needs to, we know what he's capable of, just needs to minimize mistakes. Ocon, yeah, I mean, he was pretty disappointed out last time in Hungary. I think to get one car into P10, well, the top 10 would be a pretty decent achievement this week.
You know, so the low to medium speed is still where they're struggling. And especially on Sunday, when it comes to race pace, I think they struggle to keep the car in a decent window. Ocon, yeah, look, I mean, he's still leading the inter-team battle. Seems quite content, though. When you listen to him talk and he talks about the differences between Haas and Alpine, he's definitely a lot more at home or comfortable.
I think the environment is a lot better.
Yeah, the environment is a lot better for him. So now it's just a matter of getting that car to work for him and pushing the team. Well, exactly right, because he is the number one driver, right? So that's his job. Yeah, I'm not expecting a massive turnaround. Like we see, like you said, one weekend shit, one weekend really good. I think this weekend's probably going to be a pretty ordinary weekend.
Back-to-back shitter.
Yeah, back-to-back shitter. So unless mixed conditions,
well, that's, you know, we might... It can become a lottery, can't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of lottery, what's your pick? Top three. Who are your podium? And who's the guy that you think will outperform on the day? You know, maybe the dark horse.
Right, so I'm going to go Oscar to stem the bleeding. I'm going to say Max for second. I think he's just at home. He's just going to be really tough to beat, even if that car's not great.
Mm.
I think the cooler track conditions are going to help. And I'm going to go Lando for third. My shining light, I'm going to throw it out there, Lewis for P4. Especially if it's wet, Lewis definitely for P4.
All right, I'm just going to have a massive, like, biased take at this. Oscar Piastri, P1. Max Verstappen, P2. Charles Leclerc, P3. And the guy that's going to outperform, I'm going to let my bias take over, Liam Lawson. It's where he made his debut a few years back. Yeah, I think he's going to be in for a, you know, like a P7, P8, somewhere around there, and perform pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, he should beat his teammate here, right? Like you said, he made his debut here. Now, it's not a lot of an advantage because you were just thrown in for literally...
Yeah, well, exactly. I wasn't saying it as that. I just think it's that affinity. It's like that was your connection. This is where you made your imprint.
But I do think that's an advantage.
Yeah.
It should give him a little bit of an edge over Hadjar, who hasn't been there in a Formula One car.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I think Lawson should definitely outshine Hadjar for sure.
Well, let's go. There you go. You heard it first. We're unbiased here. We don't favor our Aussie or Kiwi drivers, of course. It's all logical. It's a logical thought process. Look, I'm excited about this week regardless. Hopefully we do get the mixed weather. I think the gusty winds are going to be very interesting as long as we don't get ridiculous conditions and we get a weekend full of red flags and just silliness. I'll leave you with the final word.
Man, I'm tired of waiting. Let's get stuck in, man. Let's get some racing. We've got to get stuck in with a double header and we're into it, man. And then it's not long left until Abu Dhabi. So tensions are starting to rise. So until then, we'll catch you in the next one.
Catch you.